This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Good Morning NoCo. Thanks for being with us here on Thursday, or half a Jeeba.
It's almost a Jeeba.
It's almost a Jeeba. We're almost there. Almost to a Friday.
Hey, looking forward to a Friday and a nice long Memorial Day weekend. And don't forget what the upcoming weekend is all about. There's all sorts of remembrances and services and things you can take part of. But educate your family about what this day is all about coming up on Monday.
Yeah, that is for sure, Brian. And, you know, with that being said, I thought it was interesting. All of our fearless leaders in Washington are taking off for the weekend tomorrow. They're taking off.
Yeah.
Is there something with a deadline that they're trying to get past?
Yeah, I think if there's a group that doesn't need to take it off until they get work done, I would say that was it.
I would think so.
You know, the deadline is here. I'm sorry. There's no barbecue for you.
That is exactly right. You can't be headed out to do all these different things. You got to find a way to get this thing done.
Yeah, so the rest of us are still going to be able to afford something to put on our barbecue, you know, which could go away really quickly.
No, they certainly could. To my knowledge, not a whole lot has been done on this.
No. No, I mean, absolutely zero progress.
No. How are we so dug in that we're not able to make a couple of concessions to get this thing done?
Look, I mean, for me, it's like you do what you got to do to get the bills paid, you know?
Right.
That's just as families you do that, as a human you do that, you've got to find a way.
Well, and this
do we need to have a garage sale?
Do we need to do something like that? I think so. This deadlocked Washington has taken America to the brink of default, and it's going to jeopardize the United States' perfect credit rating. This was announced this morning on CNN. The credit ratings agency placed top-ranked U.S. credit on rating watch negative, reflecting the uncertainty surrounding the current debt ceiling debate and the possibility of a first-ever default. The move comes as, obviously, Republicans and Democrats are negotiating to raise the U.S. debt limit. How do we have a perfect credit score already, though?
I was wondering that, too, when your debt is what it is, but our credit score, so we pay that out, that bill every month on time.
I mean, because if the debt ceiling just keeps going higher and higher and higher, how in the hell, like, how are we not?
Creditrepair.com.
Yes.
I believe that's what.
FREE, that spells free. Creditreport.com,
yeah,
baby.
That's the
Can
one
we
I
play
think.
That jingle for Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden? Maybe they need to just check one of those out.
I guess I don't understand why there isn't more of a sense of immediacy. This is the nation's economy,
right?
You know, this is people's livelihoods.
It's the reputation of the country too, like on a global scale. Like it is. We have set ourselves up for so many years of being the top dog because we take care of the things that we promise, and you're running into you're running into it now where that's starting to, people are starting to get nervous about that. If the U.S. can handle how much debt that we've ensued over the last however many years.
Well, are stores and internationally and locally going to have pictures of the American flag behind the cash register saying "Do not accept checks from"? You know, like it used to be when you would bounce a $2 check.
I want to laugh, and I also want to cry because I think that's the next step. But it has put the U.S. AAA on rating watch negative. This is from Fitch, one of the top three credit rating agencies, along with Moody's and S&P. saying that it could downgrade the U.S. debt if lawmakers don't agree on a bill that raises U.S. Treasury debt limits. The rating watch negative reflects increased political partisanship that is hindering reaching a resolution to raise or suspend the debt limit despite the fast approaching date when the U.S. Treasury exhausts its cash position and capacity for extraordinary measures without incurring new debt, the company said in a statement. X date is what they're calling it now. X date. We can't cross X date. This seems like a shot across the bow, to be honest with you. This seems like a warning shot from the credit rating agencies saying, hey, get your done and let's get going. Otherwise, we're going to have to take action on you. It does. It seems like a warning shot. Not that for the general public needed one, but it does seem like sometimes those people get up on Capitol Hill and kind of lose all sense of reality.
Yeah. that's a nice way of putting it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's dive into just a couple of news.
I would love to have faith that something's going to get figured out.
It'll get done. Some way, form, or fashion. When we saw it, you know, you can say anything you want about Kevin McCarthy. The dude may take it to the wire. You know, even with his election to be the Speaker of the House, it may come down to, wait a second, we're getting nervous. We're getting nervous about this. We're getting nervous. And then he's going to find a way to strike a deal. Kevin McCarthy is the king of the deal. And I think that he will find a deal to get done with Joe Biden. I can't believe, Brian, that the people in position here don't understand how horrible this gets if they don't get a deal done. And when back's against the wall, I still believe that the system is there to keep these people in place.
No, I think they know the severity of it, but there are people who are willing to roll the dice because they're trying to make a point. And that's what's a problem.
Yeah. The people that matter, are they going to be so deadlocked on this? Or are they smart enough to know that, hey, we can't do that?
I have no faith in saying somebody's smart enough to do anything coming from there anymore. I have absolutely zero trust.
Yeah, you're probably right about everything that you've said so far. Yeah, it makes me a sad little boy.
No, it's fine. You can still be on the bus, but I don't know that it's going anywhere.
Come and jump on the Rockies bus.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a reference to that. Okay.
Okay, I thought you meant like our political bus is not going.
It was
because of gridlock. Get it?
Yeah. No, I do because I threw it out there.
United Airlines announced on Tuesday the addition of 35 flights at Denver International Airport. Have you ever flown United before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good airline?
I got to where I was going.
That's important.
Yeah. To me, that's the way I look at success of a flight. Did we make it? Cool.
United will also be occupying an additional 12 gates as well, so making it a major expansion at DIA. The goal is to have these new flights and gates ready for flyers by the middle of 2024. These new additional flights will bring the total number of United gates at DIA to 90, making them the largest airline at the airport. I thought that was Southwest, but this is going to make them the largest. Frontier and Southwest Airlines may need to do some gate switching to make this United expansion possible. So good news. They're going to make DIA more complicated next time you get down there.
I love it. Yeah, I already
with the parking situation that's going on down there as well.
I always just look forward to going to that airport to start with.
Yeah, it's always a blast.
Yeah, everything's so close together and convenient.
I didn't realize how complicated the DIA airport was until I started, walking around other airports. like the Phoenix airport. It's so simple. Like, I don't know why they had to do it for the underground bunker that they've got there. So for the secret society, the lizard people come back.
Oh, and Phoenix are here.
That's why they had to make it so complex. We're fully aware of
everything that goes on underneath there.
7:16 the time.
That's where Eaton makes her athletes. That's right. There's
fantastic.
A lab under DIA.
That is
doesn't
fantastic.
Raise any questions because you can't find it in their town. But there's also a tunnel that goes underneath from where they make them to where they shoot them to the baseball field and the football field and the volleyball court and all those. Pretty cool.
That.
I had to look into it. There was a special on Netflix.
I will. I missed that one. 7:16. It's Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Washington and the budget. We appreciate it.
Why do we have to keep writing new chapters of history books every 6 months in this country?
Because that's what people do. We live and we create history, and sometimes it's sometimes it's like a non-eventful, you know, 10-year gap. That would be kind of cool.
Love that. We'd have so much time for back page news, Brian. Think about that.
Well, yeah, no kidding. But they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, right?
Right.
Okay, we're living that right now over the last 6 years.
I love the duality of man, Brian, and I love looking at the demographics of our listenership when we ask a poll question like we did today about who would you like to see win the Republican nomination for president, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, other, and I don't care, I don't give a damn if you're Democrat, Republican, who do you think you want to see? Here's a texter from 970. I voted for Biden last time, but I would give Chris Christie a long look. He has the same policies and toughness as Trump. He doesn't try to undermine Americans' faith in the voting and legal systems, and he tends to speak the truth. I actually agree with that. I don't have a problem with Chris Christie at all. I don't think he's electable. I think kind of the same way. I don't think who was the person that you threw out earlier? Was it Chris Christie?
Yeah, I'd said Chris Christie, Liz Cheney would be an interesting combination.
I don't,
because they're both Republican.
I don't know if you can go such a 180 so quickly. That's the only thing. We need to, right? But does Chris
Aren't
Christie
they within the same party, or is it now a different party?
No, it's still the same party. But when you talk about Chris Christie's toughness, okay, when you talk about that, I don't see that. I don't know why it is with Chris Christie. Maybe
I need to hear him talk more. I like hearing people speak the truth.
But don't you think his political window has maybe closed?
I thought so until he started to try to be the opposite and trying to speak the truth in a way that people who were bendable could bend towards.
Yeah.
You know?
He's interesting. Because I think His window, his prime is most electable time
is still 30 years away because he's only in his 50s. Yeah, but he's got to wait.
You know what I mean? But it's hard to reach, get that close to the top, fall short, and come back up, right? You know, when he threw his name in, was that Romney that beat him? In the Republican GOP,
he was running several times.
I know, and so once you, like, it's kind of like Ted Cruz. I think I liken it. I'm not likening the two, but the situations. Cruz got there, didn't win, and now he's back down. I don't think Ted Cruz will ever run for president again. I don't think. I think his window has kind of closed. Maybe I'm wrong. But the duality of man we're seeing here, texter from the 970, as we talk about Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy trying to get a deal done with the debt ceiling. Elections have consequences. The head full of mush is incapable of dealing with this. There's a lot. You can't narrow that down to just one person in Washington. Let's be fair on that. There's a lot of head full of mush up there in Washington trying to deal with this. Texter here, Trump 100% and Candace Owens. Candace Owens would be interesting. Do you know anything about Candace Owens?
Nope.
She works for PragerU, and she's an African-American woman. Very, very interesting when it comes to presidential nominations. One thing that we haven't talked about, I mean, it's Biden getting the Democratic nomination, right? No one's going to really try and push him.
Nothing of the contrary.
It's scary. It's scary thinking that we could run back 2020 again.
Well, I think that's why we're all so damn happy.
Yes.
You know?
But I'm curious where the general public is on this. I'm curious where we're at on who is the right person. Because if you can't change who's going to run on the left, if you can't change that at all, who do you want to see on the right? Like, you look at Biden's approval ratings. They're not good. The majority of Americans don't think he's doing a good job. So out of the field on the right, who do you want to see step up? That's what I'm looking for, right? Like, if you are somebody, because there's Democrats out there that are saying, okay, we voted for Joe because a vote for Joe was a vote against Trump. Now, who's somebody on the right that could sway that back?
And that's why the name Chris Christie comes up with some people, because he can appeal to somebody like me, because he doesn't insult me.
Right.
He doesn't come out and name call and do things and make me feel stupid because I wasn't with him before. He's making it welcoming. Hey, come in. This is the common sense I'm throwing out there.
What about Mike Pence? God. Would you take a look? Because he's the anti-Trump in terms of the way that he talks to people. He's very respectful when he opens his mouth.
I'm just not sure he's real. You think birds aren't real? I'm not
you
sure
don't think
that
political
he wasn't
leaders
created
are real.
In a lab.
It's hard to argue that. I think Pence has always been interesting. I think watching if a Pence Trump battle happened. You know the dirt that Mike Pence would have on Trump that he could bring to the light and say, here's what X, Y, and Z, and here's what he did behind this. And I know you're to the point where you think that there's people out here who just don't care. I don't believe that yet. Because everything so far that has been talked about Donald Trump, has been about his personality. Listen, I voted for the guy twice. I know he's a complete words that I can't say on the radio. I know that about him. It's always been his policy. So if Pence can come forth and say, here's what he did in office that really hurt Americans, here's the decisions he made that really hurt us, then that sways people.
Let me ask you this. If any other candidate, anybody else running for office, did and was proved to have done the things and said the things that Trump has said, would they get any support?
The resume that he built in 4 years in office?
Not talking about that.
But I'm talking
about the stuff. But we're throwing out the resume. You're talking about...
Just throwing out the resume, then no.
Just with that background, because we get on people and it's their blackballed for the... Oh, they have this in their history. One time this happened or this, or it's this type of person, so there's no way. If those traits were in somebody else other than him, would you think that person was electable?
Probably not. No. And I think there's going to be a case study done on this time in American history at some point that's going to be absolutely mind-boggling to
me. I'm just amazed at the things that he can do, say, and have people go, oh, he's just being this, where it's a different standard than what you hold other people to.
I mean,
you write it off because, oh, man, that's just, it's him being him, and that's, you know, I love that about him.
You know, I don't think it's that. I think that's a very small faction. I believe that there is a faction that does feel that way. I think that's a smaller faction. But I mean, Tiger Woods, he's facing legal issues. The way that he has handled women in the past, the way that he's gone about things, the drinking and driving, the DUIs that he's gotten, and stuff like that. Still lovable, people still like him, people still root for him and stuff like that, right? So we've seen instances in celebrities that, you know, okay, well, they messed up. I think are we right for thinking in that mindset? No, I don't think so. Should Trump be held absolutely accountable if he did break the law in any of these ways? 100% he should. And do I think Donald Trump should be the next president of the United States? No, I don't. And I said that openly, you know, and I catch flack for saying that as openly Republican as I have talked about being. I catch flack for that. But at some point, you've got to set your party alliance aside and use your damn head. And that's what the Republican Party needs to do. And that's why it's time to move on. It's certainly interesting.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to be voting for a person, not a party.
Right, which,
and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, but
so it's the policy. Wide open. Win me over.
There, I
win
like
me.
Texter from the 970, Dan Crenshaw. I'd have to do a little bit more research on Dan Crenshaw.
Don't know the name.
He's the guy with the eye patch, I believe, from Texas. But I'd have to do a little bit more research. I know that name's starting to circulate a little bit as well. But I think he's a couple years out from being electable. But 7:31, the time is good morning, NoCo. What's that?
You got to be 80.
Yeah, you got to be. We've raised. Watch. Even if it's if whoever gets reelected, they're going to raise the minimum age for you to be president to like 79.
Yeah, exactly.
So that way going
forward. Do we put him in a home or the White House?
Either
That's
way,
where
it's
you've got to be.
Home.
Exactly.
7:31. It's Good Morning NoCo. We'll be right back. At the time. Welcome into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Gary.
That's Billy Joel, actually, but thank you. We do sound similar.
You sound very, very similar. And Andy from Bruno Lilly Legal joining us this morning. Hovla is running behind. No good deed goes undone.
That's
or
correct.
What is unpunished?
Unpunished.
Is that how the phrase goes?
That's what she gets.
She stopped by the Merc and got us burritos this morning, and then got caught up in a traffic jam. So she's headed this way with burritos, which means we may have to take them a little longer if we want our burritos.
No, and that's totally fine. And whenever she gets here, just let her in, and she can bust on in here while we're doing this.
That'll be perfect.
Professionalism does not matter.
Andy is joining us, first time solo in the studio for a couple of minutes.
You guys have to be gentle.
Yes. We will. We'll be kind.
And I promise I'll call you tomorrow.
All right.
I didn't make that promise.
I expected this.
So we want to talk a little bit about Danny Masterson, because this is one of those cases for me, Brian. You read the allegations when it first pops up. We know the judicial system takes a while for everything to play out. It falls off the front page of all the news. It falls out of people's minds. And they're like, oh, yeah, whatever happened with that?
Well, and for those who are wondering, Dean, name sounds familiar. He was the guy from that 70s show, Hyde from that 70s show, which I watched all the time. I loved that show. And he was a great character.
I loved him in that 70s show. I was a huge fan, but it's specifically not in that 90s show. Because of this case.
And I knew
left
that.
He was booted
from the ranch with Ashton Kutcher and Sam Elliott for the same thing, because of these allegations. And I know that people can get dismissed as soon as something is just alleged in the press. You're guilty. I mean, it can get that way as far as if you were scheduled to do something, if you were on a sports team, if you're on something, because it's easier to just cut ties than deal with the legal ramifications until they work themselves out. And that's the key with this one, is the length of time it's taking to work itself out.
Absolutely. I think it started back in 2020, so 3 years ago. In this particular case, he actually stood trial. Went through trial, went to the jury.
And what was he accused of, Andy? Do you remember?
It was sex.
It was rape.
It was rape. He had three counts. So all three counts went to the jury. The jury deliberated, which means they go back in the back room. They do the whole let's vote and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and they actually – they hung on the verdicts. They hung, which means that they couldn't make a decision. They couldn't agree. So, you know, 7 said yes. 5 said no. 10 said yes, 2 said no, stuff like that. So they actually
it could be as simple as one person can stop the whole. It has to be unanimous, right?
So yeah, and it's a famous movie, 12 Angry Men, from way back in the day. That was
right.
The whole movie. It was one guy that was holding out and then convinced everyone else. But yeah, you can hang. You can hang 11 to 1 or 1 to 11. And typically the parties want to know which way everyone was going, so they kind of know what they want to do. But what happens is then it's considered a mistrial. The trial never happened. Well, there's no ties, but it's a tie. You guys get to do it again. So you get a short period of time to bring it back. You get a new jury. You get to retry the case, and then they get another bite at the apple. Both sides do.
Who does a retrial benefit more, the defense or the prosecution?
It depends. It's why you want to know which way the jury was going. So
does that information go to the public? It's a hung jury, do you know how close it was one way or the other? Is that information given to the public?
We know it in this case, yeah. No, they split. I'm going to misquote this, so I don't want to. I apologize if I get this wrong.
You're all good. Let's hear it.
It was like 10 to 2 on one count, 7 to 5 on another, and I think it was split right down the middle on the third. So for them,
There you go. Pavel is joining us if you're hearing some rustling in the background.
Those are the burritos being passed.
That was, yes, absolutely.
The Mia Copa burritos. And who does it benefit? It's always interesting because I think both parties can get some benefit from it, right? Because you know what the other side's doing now. Everyone comes with their A game because you think that trial is going to be the last great moment to
right.
get your information out. So you know what the other side's doing.
How much pressure on the jurors is that? Like when you know you're split, like are jurors pressuring each other? Like, come on now, you got to come to this side. Like, is there wheeling and dealing going on inside of the jury chambers?
I can only speculate. I've actually never made it onto a jury.
Really?
Yeah. So I usually they don't put lawyers on the jury.
I guess that doesn't shock me.
And where I grew up, my parents were lawyers. So and once they found that out, they're like, "Nah, we don't want your dinner table conversations coming here." Mm-hmm. So I never actually got on a jury. But my speculation is that they probably are back there talking with each other, trying to figure it out. I mean, they even bring you in if you tell the judge, like, "Guys, we're stuck. We can't move forward." They will bring you in, and the judge will give you like this mini lecture to be like, "Go try harder."
So that's really what happened in the first trial. They actually got the "go try harder" speech three mm-hmm. times before they said, "No, judge, we really can't make a decision."
So yeah, there's some pressure on them because no one wants to do it again, right?
It's right. The money, everything.
The jury doesn't really feel the pressure. The lawyers and the judge feel the pressure, right? Like the jury really shouldn't know about all of this.
Maybe I hope they do. Maybe as someone
I feel like a common
case,
sense person will know that if we run this back, it's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to go through all the steps again. It's going to. I feel like common sense would prevail, and if I'm in that room. That's a big hope. I know. I saw Havala's face when I said, "I hope that common sense would prevail." But I do think that if I was a juror on there, Brian, am I wrong? From an outside of a lawyer's perspective, if you were part of a hung jury, would you feel pressure to find and get to a verdict?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
No, and I know that if I were, in the 11 who voted one way and there was one going the other way, I'd be looking at that person going, "You have messed up my dinner. You have messed up everything." I wonder, as attorneys, are you able to get a feel? Are you able to sense when, this is going to be a hung jury? I can just feel watching them through all this. We're not going to get a consensus one way or another. Do you get that vibe?
We all have our own personal crystal balls we look in.
Anecdotal evidence.
Yeah. Hovla's last trial, she came back and we were both talking about like, "Well, I think this is good. Well, I think this is bad. Well, they've been there for 30 seconds. That's bad. 45 seconds. Good."
It's waiting for those test results to come back.
It's the worst part of your job is just waiting.
And trying to read the tea leaves about what's going on. Like, well, what did they mean?
Oh, we got a question. What does this question mean?
And sometimes that question is like, "When's lunch?" And you're like, "Well, okay."
I didn't know that, first of all. See, you guys deal with this all the time and trying to walk that. But jurors can come back and say, "We're confused about this."
Yeah.
They can. They can ask a question. Now, the answer they get might not be very helpful because evidence is closed, right?
That's what I was just about to ask. So if they come back and say, "We have a question about this specific thing," who gets to provide the answer? Because you guys, obviously, the defense and the prosecution will have two different answers to it. Who gets to decide that?
Well, so there's a mini meeting. So the question comes in, the judge reviews it, gives copies to the attorneys. Then there's a private meeting between the judge and the attorneys, and they decide, is this question proper? Are we going to answer it? If so, how are we going to answer it? And then the judge, after discussing it with the lawyers and having a consensus, the judge decides and then sends a written statement back to the jury. So, like, if they say, "We don't understand reasonable doubt," for instance, which is kind of a hot topic right now because the reasonable mm-hmm. doubt instruction in Colorado just was changed. So you get a lot of jurors saying, "We don't understand this instruction." Sometimes the parties will agree to change the instruction back to the old instruction. Sometimes they'll just say, "You have the instructions. You figure it out. That's the law."
We're talking with Havala and Andy from Bruno Lilly Legal here this morning. Just a quick reminder, anything you hear here is not legal advice. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Now, the first one resulted in a hung jury, so they're going to go back and they're going to retry.
They're
right?
on 4.5 days of the deliberation
they
on
did
the
already.
Retrial.
Yeah, they've already done the second.
So we're waiting for the jury verdict on the second trial.
The jury is back at trying to figure out if he's guilty or not.
4.5 days of deliberation already.
It's a lot.
That is a long time, and that doesn't really lean towards guilty, does it?
Well,
Well,
I mean, look in your glass.
I'll get out my crystal ball.
Yeah.
I would guess that it's probably leaning towards another hung jury.
What happens if that happens? Do they run it back again?
Yeah, so there's like this interesting podcast about this gentleman who was charged with murder from like the 80s, I think. And they kept getting mistrial and they kept getting reversed on appeal. And he was tried maybe 12 times before they finally decided they got a new prosecutor and they finally decided to dismiss the charges. And I can't remember that guy's name at this point. But like
12 times on the same case?
It's up to the prosecutor. Like, and that's why knowing how the votes landed is so important. Like, and at the first trial, it was pretty favorable to Masterson, so the prosecution made some changes at the second trial.
And you got to remember, just when the first trial is done, you can go back and negotiate. So does the prosecution realize, like, oh, this split 10-2 in your favor. I need to make a better deal. Or it can go the other way. It goes 2-10 in the prosecution's favor. Maybe all of a sudden then you're back to revisiting.
If there is a hung jury and then there's a second trial like there is here, mm-hmm. Do you have to just use the same evidence that you had in the first trial, or can new evidence be brought in between the first trial and a retrial?
I would say it depends is the standard lawyer question. But usually, yes, you can bring in new information. There can be new evidence because you're probably addressing what the other side's argued. If you know what they're going to say, A, B, and C, you want to say, well, anti-A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. So you're probably presenting different stuff. You're going through different things.
And in this case, that's exactly what the prosecution did. They brought in an expert to explain some of the Scientology stuff because that there were some questions.
Talk
about
to
that.
Me about that because it felt like
– brought in an extra victim to talk.
They felt like they were trying to dodge the Scientology stuff maybe a little bit. What was going on? Because that was the article I've been seeing the headlines from. What was going on with the Scientology stuff? What was it?
Well, sounds like they didn't really present a lot on the Scientology stuff the first time around, but there's some pretty critical evidence about how these victims outcried, and they outcried within the church because they were all members of the Scientology church. And within Scientology, they have these rules where you can't report the crime to law enforcement unless the church says you can, and you have to go through and report it to the church first. And in each case, the church basically decided not to issue a decision, which by default means you can't report them to the police. And so one of these victims actually wrote like a couple of letters, which were introduced into evidence. And so they needed an expert to come in and explain, like, well, this is why there's a delayed report and this is why they didn't do anything right away is because they had to follow these rules. They're a part of this system. And they took a risk. Ultimately, the prosecution argued, you should believe them because they took such a risk. They stepped outside of the Church of Scientology and faced excommunication from their community to come forward and tell you what happened to them.
That is fascinating. It's disturbing. The whole case is disturbing. But watching it play out and watching how different people have, you know, different thoughts on the same, you know, how they can view things so differently on the same set of information that they're receiving.
Well, and it's got to get complicated when you bring Scientology into it. And then you're walking that line of religion and, you know, all the things that go into that, which still feels cult-like to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Me too. You know? Me too. When it comes to that, we're talking with Andy and Havla from Bruno Lilly Legal. So, how bad does it have to suck, or must it suck, for a juror to be part of this whole trial and then at the end you wasted 3-4 weeks and all of a sudden we still don't have a verdict? That's got to be a horrible feeling.
I mean, it sucks as the attorney, I'll tell you that. when you have to go back and get that verdict and know that, okay, well, we're kind of hitting the restart button. I don't know. I feel like maybe if the jury at that point, they've made their stances and they've made their arguments to each other. I mean, I don't know if they feel
could
terrible
this
about holding
could this
ground.
Verdict be reached before the weekend? Or, you know, if it gets to this weekend, is this jury going to have to deliberate through a Memorial Day weekend, or do juries split at that
Tuesday.
Time? They would come back after?
Yeah.
They get read the whole, you know, don't talk about this, don't go to Dr. Google, things like that, and then come back. But they would get, they'd be able to go home.
Is that just on the honor system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really crappy system nowadays.
And then you find out sometimes when the jurors aren't following the honor system because they can't help themselves. They share with other jurors who rat them out, or they talk to the bailiff and they're like, I was doing blah, blah, blah last night. You know? And all of a sudden, like, the attorneys and the judge have to sit down and talk about what are we going to do with this juror?
Let's talk a little bit about that, because Brady Hole shared his, he got jury duty, and he shared his story on air on, yesterday. I was blown away by some of it, because I still haven't been chosen. I still haven't got a letter in the mail saying, hey, we need you, Tanner, for your civic duty. Nobody needs me. 7:54, let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando. The time. It's Good Morning, NoCo. I'm Tanner. You were ready, man. You were ready to go on.
I know this one. This was a Thin Lizzy song before it was a Metallica song, and it was an old Irish drinking song.
I'm going to guess it was better when Thin Lizzy did it. Just going to throw that out there.
Tanner, I'm unplugging your mic.
No.
Go and take the burrito back, Tanner.
I only took a bite out of it. So shout out to Lori at the Merc. Things were popping over there. Got you hung up, huh?
Yeah. Ran into some other lawyers.
You guys don't like to talk, do you?
Yeah.
No. Oh, really?
You have to do the street fight, the snapping.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Did you win it? It's like Anchorman. Did you win?
I always win. But
Brick killed the guy.
I was going to.
People don't know this, but Lori's also a lawyer.
I knew that. Her personality cracks me up even more knowing that she does.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that portion of it.
Yeah.
Her personality cracks me up because she just comes with off the wall stuff that I love. When she was in here for the Wheel of Meat,
we had a great time.
She was hilarious talking about because it was April Fool's, and we were talking about the pranks that she has pulled on people. The Merc is phenomenal. We're going to be giving away $50 worth of free meat to the Merc tomorrow for our Wheel of Meat. We're going to talk more about jury duty and what that all entails. Wrap up kind of the Masterson conversation on the other side. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.